Welcome to the Wonder Your Way Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Neiman. I'm here to help you travel to Europe, to explore off the tourist track destinations, dig a bit deeper into those well-known places, offer up some tips so you can travel with peace of mind, and of course, to share a few stories. It's my hope to inspire you to travel to Europe your way. Well, hello, my wondering friend. How are you today? I'm doing pretty good. Hey, guess what? This is Wonder Your Way's 50th episode. I know it's not 100 or 500 like so many other podcasters who've been around for a while. But you know, when I started this journey deep into the pandemic, the back end, I guess I started to think about doing this at the end of 2020. As I was a guest on my dear friend, Jason Moore, the Zero to Travel podcast, and he's a friend of mine. And I remember he said, hey, have you ever thought about podcasting? And it was funny because he said that, and we shared a few emails after we recorded the episode. And I remember when I finished the episode, gosh, that was a lot of fun. Maybe I should think about doing a podcast. And when I sent him a note just to say, hey, thanks for bringing me on. And he said, hey, you know, you really rock the mic. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast? And I was like, well, it's funny you say that, because as soon as we finished recording, I thought, maybe I should do a podcast. So I put it out there that I wanted to start the podcast. My birthday's in late January, and I decided that that was sort of a little deadline for me because I knew it would give me the push, because I think it was like November of 2020. So at the end of the year, and well, at the end of January of 2021 is when I dropped my first few episodes of the Wonder Your Way podcast. And, you know, I told myself I would give myself a year. I'd see what happened. And here we are almost 2 years later. So here we are on episode number 50. I'm really excited because I'm actually going to do something a little bit different here. Usually I talk about a specific destination and we kind of, you know, I tell you all the things to do, or I offer up some tips for travel to Europe. This time, I kind of want to do a little list just because it's my 50th episode. So, you know, I kind of felt like, well, let's do something just a little different and see how this flies. If you guys like this episode, you can tell me. If you're like, yeah, Lynn, don't do those little list things again, then I won't. But I wanted to do a top five destinations in Europe. I really had to. This was hard for me, you guys. I was like, I made out the list of all my favorite places I've been in Europe, which was still quite a lot. And I thought, well, maybe I'll kind of try to whittle it down to maybe 10. But I really put the hammer down on myself and I said, I'm just going to do five. You know, 55, I kind of wanted to have that sort of theme kind of going on. So I really cut it down to like my very favorite top five places that I love for myself that I really would highly recommend for travelers. Part of my criteria was I had to at least have spent like a few days there. So it couldn't be a place that I just went on a day trip. So that kind of eliminated maybe like some sites or something like that, but, or some day trips that I took that I'd be like, ooh, I'd like to come back here. So what I did was I had to be sure that I spent at least a few days in the place, in the destination. And I wanted to also just make sure I had a variety of places. I didn't want it all to be like, well, I'm not really a city person, so you know there's not going to be a lot of cities, but I didn't want it to all be like outdoor places or things like that. I kind of wanted to be sure that I got a variety. I didn't want all the places to be like in Italy or Ireland or something like that. So I feel like I got a nice little variety going here. So without further ado, I'm going to give you Lynn's top five Europe destinations, at least so far. This list will probably change as I go more places. But first, another friend of mine, one Travis Sherry, who has the EPOP podcast, him and his wife, Heather, Trav always has honorable mentions. He's notorious for this when they do their list. And sometimes he'll have like several honorable mentions. I'm going to put one out there. And the reason that I'm putting it out there is because it was just a day trip, but I want to put it out there because I know it's a place that I know that if I would have like spent a couple of days would have probably have been on this list. I feel pretty strongly about that. So my honorable mention goes to the Grindelwald area of Switzerland. This is kind of out, I think a little bit past me, like in that Lauterbrunnen Valley and a little bit past that. This is where you can see the big peaks. Like you see the Eiger, which was something I really wanted to see, and the Monk and the Jungfrau and the Wetterhorn, all these big mountains. And I just did a day trip out here from Geneva with my friend who was living in my friend Lynn without any. Hello, Lynn. We just took that. It was a long day trip because it took a while for us to get the trains out there. And then we did a short little hike and then we trained back. So it was a very long day, but I did get to go and see this area. And I want to put that on there as an honorable mention because I really do feel like it would be a place that would make my top five list if I had spent a little longer there. But we just had a day trip, but it was enough to whet my appetite. I absolutely love the Swiss Alps, but unfortunately, Switzerland tends to be a little pricey. So it's just kind of one of those places that I highly recommend going, but just know that you are going to pay for it. So my advice in going to a place like Switzerland is, if you can go for just a couple of days, like if you're nearby Germany or France or something like that, if you can go for a couple of days and kind of at least whet your appetite, plan it in your budget and go, because it is an absolutely stunningly beautiful country. So, and that area of the Swiss Alps in particular, I just absolutely fell in love with. Okay, so let's get into the actual top five. And I will say these are not necessarily in any particular order, although, and probably if you ask me next week, I might take a couple off and put a couple different ones on. But I will say that my number one, the last one that I'll bring up here is probably my number one place. Maybe not. I think it would depend on the day. So anyway, let's get started on the list. So coming in at number five, again, not necessarily in any order, but just to kind of keep it a little like kind of loose and open. Number five is the Greek island of Santorini, Greece. Now, I had the privilege to stay here for about 12 days, which was really nice. I stayed in Fira Stefani, which is a little village just kind of above, like as you walk from Fira, F-I-R-A, or otherwise known as Thira, T-H-I-R-A. That is sort of the main town. It's kind of the biggest town on this island, on this very, very popular island. If you walk kind of just a little bit above, there's kind of just these great pathways. You come to this little village of Fira Stefani. You walk maybe a little bit above that. You come to Amirovigli. And if you go all the way out to the very tip, and you can walk it, I didn't walk it, but you can go all the way out to Ia, which is OIA. I stayed in Fira Stefani for about 4 nights. And then I went out to Ia for 8 nights. And Ia is definitely my favorite. No doubt about it. It's the place where's like the sunset point and everything is very, very popular. But it is very beautiful. And here's what I would say about Santorini is why it's on my top five. It is as dreamy in real life as it is in the pictures or any videos you might see. It really is just something out of a fairy tale, out of a dream that you might have had. It is that beautiful. It is a little pricey. It does get very busy. The cruise ships do come in, so and it can get very busy in all of the towns as the boat people. It's I think one of the shop owners or shop workers said, we call them the boat people. So the boat people come in and they kind of inundate everything. The nice thing is when you stay there for a few days, you get to experience the evening without all the boat people coming in. My advice for going here is definitely to try to go a little bit off season. I was there in early June, so it wasn't super busy. It was starting to get busy. It was kind of a nice time to go because things were just kind of opening up. You just have to watch to see what's open and what's not. I read some something, a blog or something. Somebody was there like actually over Thanksgiving and they said it was great. And I was like, whoa, that seems like it would be a little late and I would be worried about things being opened. But you may be able to go in like May or like the latter part, maybe the second half of September, maybe into early October, and it may not be too bad. You just have to watch to make sure things were open. But Santorini really is as beautiful as the pictures, even more so in real life. It is just such a stunning place. And I think everybody should go at least once. I definitely would love to go back. I'd also like to go see some other Greek islands, but this is definitely one of those bucket list places. And that's why I think it makes my top five destination. And that's why I wanted to go see it, because it was a bucket list place and it really lived up to the hype. At least it did for me. So that's number five. The Greek island of Santorini, Greece. And I would say in particular, go up to that little town of Ia, O-I-A, as it's a little village and it's just really special up there. I have, I'll link to a blog post. I felt like I became a local in the 8 nights that I was up there in Ia. I got to know a shopkeeper. I got to know the street dogs. It was awesome. So that's why it is on my top five. Okay, number four. And number four is the Connemara area of County Galway, Ireland. Now, y'all know I love my Ireland. I love Ireland so much. So this was hard because I was like, I can't have three out of my top five be in Ireland, which would have been very easy for me to do. So I fought with this because there are a couple of other places that I would probably put on here as well. And like I said, maybe next week it wouldn't be Connemara. Maybe it'd be a different area of Ireland. However, today, as I record this, it's Connemara. And I think that for those of you who don't know, I do have an episode. I think it was like one of my first episodes, and I'll link to it in the show notes. So I did an entire episode on Connemara, but Connemara is kind of like that western part of County Galway. And it's really very special. It's very unique. There's a lot of craggy coastline. There's the 12 Bends, which are the mountains, you know, mountains by Irish standards, not by Swiss Alp standards. There is this peaty bog land. It's very special. It's very unique. It's this Atlantic peat bog that definitely has a very different kind of, you know, the biodiversity of it. It's very unique and very special. And I don't know, there's just something about this area that it's just kind of different from a lot of other pieces of Ireland. It's not, you know, there are parts of it that are very green, but then there are these parts of it that aren't because of the boggy land. So I don't know. There's something about this area that just really speaks to me. I love all the different coastline. I've walked on some beautiful beaches here. It has something for everyone. There are some cute towns. There's not a whole lot of towns. There's more villages. Clifton's probably one of the biggest ones, and it's, I don't know, it's only a couple thousand people, maybe at that. It has some other kind of smaller villages of like, you know, 500, 800 people. And it's just this sort of windswept, lonely, hauntingly beautiful, very different kind of destination. It's really hard for me to put into words, as you can hear from how I'm trying to describe it. But it really is a very special place. I feel like sometimes when people do go to Ireland, they kind of concentrate down in maybe like County Cork and Kerry, which, you know, kind of have some of the bigger, especially, you know, like County Kerry with the Ring of Kerry and the Dingle Peninsula. And they just don't, and they maybe make it up into County Clare to where the Cliffs of Moher are. And they don't get to really dig into County Galway. And, you know, in some ways, Connemara kind of spills over into the southern part of County Mayo. They just don't get that far. They may get as far as Galway City, but they don't get to experience Connemara. And I really feel like that's a disservice. There's a wonderful national park there, Connemara National Park. It's a great place to go and get a feel for what the landscape is like, because you have this peaty bog land, and then you can hike up Diamond Hill. It's just a hill. It's not a big mountain, but there's great views from it. So Connemara, yeah, that's the one I settled on when it came to choosing just one from Ireland. Like I said, that might change next week, but right now, Connemara, it is definitely a very special place and a place that I always recommend to my clients going to Ireland if they have the time for it. All right. So, number three. Number three is my lone city. And I am not necessarily a city person, but there is one city that I truly love, and that's Paris, France. Now, I know this is going to stir some controversy because I know there are some people out there who are not fans of Paris. Fair enough. I'm not a fan of London. I need to go back to London to find out, but I will be honest, I'm not necessarily a fan of London, at least from my first visit of being there for about 5 days. But I do love Paris. Again, it's something I can't really explain. I remember the first time I went there was back in like 2008. So the first place I went to was Notre Dame, which of course right now you can't visit because they're because of the fire back in, what was it, 2019. And so they're still restoring it. So hopefully that will be done sometime in the near future because it is one of the most stunning places, works of architecture I've ever seen. So when I went there, that was the first place. I remember I dropped my bags in the hotel and I was staying in the Latin Quarter and I walked, it was a good walk, to Notre Dame and there was a mass going on and they still allow the tourists to come in during mass. They just ask that you be very quiet and mass is going on in French, of course, and there's people milling about and I was just in awe because I just remember Miss Muller, my junior year, my high school, like world cultures, world history teacher, she had been there and she showed us slides. And I just was in awe of Notre Dame and the flying buttresses and the rose window and everything. So it was something that stuck with me from high school. Thank you, Ms. Muller. And I knew that that was the first place I wanted to go. And I actually got all emotional when I saw it. I started crying and I was like, oh my God, I'm crying because I'm seeing like something that I just remember like learning about when I was 16, 17 years old. So for me, I think maybe there's also a little bit of that emotion, like remembering that. But I just love like all the architecture around Paris. I love the different neighborhoods. I like how everything's just really different. There's really obviously the museums. Yes, the Louvre is great. I think it's big and overwhelming. I've been there twice now and I still like have seen like I think I've seen like the same thing both times. I think I keep going to the one side and I haven't seen the other side. The Orsay, however, is one of my favorite museums. That's the one where you will find a lot of the Impressionist paintings, things like the Monets, Van Goghs. You will also like love that building because it was an old train station. The building itself is really cool. And I don't know, there's just like these little pocket little streets that you can go down and these cute little cafes. And then you come in, maybe come across a little green park. There's just something about Paris. You know, it is definitely one of those places that I actually think, would I maybe stay here for like a month and be able to actually live in a city for a month? And I actually think that I could with Paris. I wouldn't say that about many cities, but I think that's one that I could. So for me, Paris makes my top five because I just think it's so special. And stay tuned because there is going to be a Paris episode with somebody who actually lives there. That's going to be coming up very soon. We're going to be recording hopefully within a week or so from the time that I'm recording this. And we'll dive into Paris a little bit more. But that is my number three of my top five destinations in Europe. Okay, we're getting down to the last couple. What else is on Lynn's list? I haven't mentioned Italy. I haven't mentioned anywhere in the UK yet. Guess what? That's what we're going next. I am going to put number two as being the far north of Scotland. This is also, there's a driving route and it's called the North Coast 500. I drove just a little piece of this, very, very small piece of it, back in 2017. And I went and stayed around this area called Gerlach, which is on the west side, the west coast of this drive, and absolutely fell in love with this area. I then from there kind of drove up just so far, like on a little kind of day trip from there and drove up. I went past Ullapool, but I didn't go all the way up to the top. However, the bits that I saw, this is, talk about an area that is wild, remote, rugged, just far away from everything. There are no, I won't say there are no towns here. There are small little villages. That's about it. This is about the Highlands landscape. And it is just beautiful. You've got all this great coastline. You've got some mountains and boggy land in the middle with some lakes here and there. Loch Maree is particularly beautiful. As I drove up from Inverness and I was driving over towards Gairloch, I came up on almost like a little pass, and they have that nice little parking area, but you look down and you look across this valley and there's Loch Maree. It's M-A-R-E-E out there in the distance. And it's just stunning. This is just, it's just really unique. And it is definitely a place that is strictly about the landscape, not about towns or, you know, historical sites. There are a few places. There's a castle over on the east side. Dunrobin Castle is definitely one. And I think, there's another one way up at the top that I think the Queen Mum was a fan of, which might have been hers, that now the name escapes me. But this is really about the landscape, about that beautiful, wild, rugged, remote Highland landscape. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. I was going to go back and spend, I was going to try to spend a couple weeks up there. I was going to try to be there over this summer, but because of my dad's health, I have not been able to travel overseas. It's on my list. It is a place I will go back to and that I really want to spend some time in. And most people, again, don't make it this far in Scotland because it does require a little bit more effort and time to get here. You definitely need a car. But if you go back and listen to the episode that I did with Beau Fraser, it's the Highlands Part 2. We talk about this area. We kind of dive in a little bit deeper. And, you know, Beau's obviously been a little bit, has explored a lot more of it than I have. And it is just, it's a special place. If you want to get into the outdoors and really kind of just see stunningly beautiful scenery, both kind of, you know, inland kind of mountains and boggy land and then coastline, this is a place to go, the far north of Scotland. So that is my number two. Okay, this brings us to our number one, or my number one. It may not be your number one. drum roll. So my number one is the Sud Tyrol area, region, province of Northern Italy. This is the South Tyrol region that I love so much. And again, I would say that this would probably make my number one all the time. I love the Dolomite Mountains. I love the landscape here. I love how these jagged peaks just come out of nowhere and you get these green valleys and you get some cute little towns and villages. There are castles, there's good food, there's vineyards. It has like a little bit, I think it has something for everyone. It's just such a beautiful spot. I'm partial to a couple of areas, obviously. Castelrotto or Kastelruth in German is one of my favorite towns, along with, like, I've gotten to know a little bit more about Susi, which is kind of the town that's where you'd get the gondola, actually. So they're not very far apart. You can walk between them. That's one of my favorite places to stay, is in that area, and to go up then to the Alpi di Susi, which is kind of easy hiking for a lot of people. There's some harder stuff. I love San Virgilio di Merebe. It's a very small village, but it sits in this valley and it's the gateway into the Fanasenas Breas Dolomite Nature Park. Love that area. Love my Hotel Olympia. Shout out to my family there who take care of me every time I'm there. Marco and Fabiana and Camila. So those are two of my favorite places, but there's a couple of other spots that I have come to really love there. Campo Torres, I've got a post up that I did recently on that area. It's a little further north, a little different. It's not really quite the Dolomites, but there's some other, the Zillertal Alps that kind of come down over the Austrian border into Italy and kind of give it a different look. There's a beautiful valley up there called the Valle Val Arina, A-U-R-I-N-A. So much love for this beautiful, beautiful piece of Italy. And it's technically a province because it's the Trentino Alto Adige region, and the Sud Tyrol, South Tyrol, is the Alto Adige province. I think it's really the province of Bolzano, which is the main town. But if you are a mountain lover, if you're a nature lover and you love kind of being in the mountains, maybe seeing there's some beautiful lakes, there's all these castles as well, which I think a lot of people don't realize. There are a ton of castles. Some of them you can visit, some of them you can't. Some of them are, you know, still intact. Some of them are ruins. The one up in Campo Torres is Castello di Torres, T-U-R-E-S. That's a beautiful one. You can actually visit that one. It's all kind of, you know, been kept up. I just think that that's something that people don't realize is that's there as well. And yes, a lot of it is about the outdoors, but you can visit these castles. And again, there are these wonderful, cute little villages and just a lot of great scenery, beautiful valleys. There's, like I said, there's some good food, good wine. It has something for everyone. I can't say enough about it. This is a place that I have been back to time and time again, and we'll go back again. I'm hoping to get there sometime in winter because I want to see it under a blanket of snow and like strap on some snowshoes and just go play in the snow. I think it would be a lot of fun. So yeah, that's sort of my top five. So let's kind of recap it here. So my honorable mention went to the Grindelwald area of Switzerland. And then my top five went the Greek island of Santorini. Then we went to Connemara, Ireland. Then we went to Paris, France. Then we went to the far north of Scotland. And then the South Tyrol region of Northern Italy. That's my top five. Those as of today. As of today, what is today's date? Today's date, as I record this, is October 27th, 2022. A year from now, that list may look a little different. You never know. I'd be curious what your top five is. So if you want to just, you know, drop me a comment or send me a note or an email, you can go over, you can email me lynne@wonderyourway.com. Let me know if you have some favorite destinations, your maybe top five destinations in Europe. I'd love to hear those. And you can always just let me know too what you thought about this episode. If you're like, yeah, don't do another one of those lists. Episodes, Lynne. We don't like them. That's fine. I'm open to suggestions. And don't forget to leave me a review if you haven't over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps kind of get my show noticed a little bit more, kind of pushes you up. Like when somebody puts in, you know, travel or travel to Europe or Europe travel, you know, I want mine to come up as one of the top podcasts out there, and the reviews kind of help that happen. So please go over and leave me a review if you have not done so. And don't forget, if you want a little bonus content, then go over to patreon.com/wonderyourway and become a Patreon member. I've actually lowered the pricing a little bit on this and kind of changed up the levels a bit. So for just $5 a month, you can get a bonus episode of Wonder Your Way. Have a little bit more of that Europe travel coming into your ears. If that sounds good, that's patreon.com/wonderyourway. I think that's about it. I don't think I have any other announcements to make, except just, you know, hit me up. I love to hear from you. You can fill out the contact form over at the Wonder Your Way website, or you can just email me, lynne@wonderyourway. I always love to hear from you, and I always, always respond to every email that I get. All right, let's wrap it up there. Until next time, happy travels.